The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today. It's Friday, December the 15th, just 10 days away from Christmas, and we're almost there. The year has gone by so quickly. And, of course, before we know it, we'll be back on tour. Century Tournament of Champions in Hawaii will be taking place. We're going to talk with our good friend Bob Bubka of the Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. He'll be telling us about his future adventures and past adventures in Hawaii because it's one of the trips that Bob makes, I think, every year. We'll find out exactly how many times Bob's headed to Hawaii this time of year. But good for him. Not so good for Frank and I. Frank Bassett joins us from the Nashville studios. And Nashville and Dallas aren't quite Maui, are they, Frank?
No.
No. So we're not going.
We're not going. I'm unhappy.
We're not going to be in the ocean.
Bob invited us. Bob invited us. He said, come on.
We'll live through Bob. He's got it set up, too, doesn't he?
I mean, well, if we could get his American Express card number, we could buy airline tickets and everything. You know.
I think Bob is the unofficial mayor of Maui, if that's a title, because he spends an awful lot of time there. And why waste any more trying to figure out for ourselves? Let's ask him in person. Bob Bubka joins us. Bob, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, guys. And, you know, you mentioned Maui, certainly getting excited about that. Have been there, I think, about the last 15 years. And I can honestly say it never seems to be real to me. You watch it on television, you see the first tee of the resort course there at Kapalua, and you look down the first fairway, you see the first green, then you see a little vegetation, then you see the Pacific Ocean, and then you see the whales jumping, and then it's about that point you say to yourself, this has to be a Hollywood set. This cannot be real, but it certainly is real, and great event, winners only. You know, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, the new generation seems to be embracing this event a lot more than maybe some of the players in the past.
Hey, Bob, it is a beautiful scene to see, that's for sure.
Sorry, Tim. Bob, I'm going to cut right to the chase. How's the food?
The food actually is pretty amazing. They have tremendous restaurants on the island, and they have they pick a different restaurant each year that caters the food for the media. And there's not, you know, a tremendous number of media that make the trip, but certainly they do everything to accommodate the media. And, you know, it's a nice event. And the Hawaiian Charities, the big beneficiaries, and without this event, a lot of those charities would really be suffering. So that's what warms my heart. And quite frankly, the spectator access is pretty good. The players are very relaxed. They talk to a lot of the fans, even during competition. It just seems to be, you know, one of those special events on that PGA Tour calendar. And I got to be honest with you, guys, what I have done is I associate that event as my last event of the year. That way I get to enjoy it. And because if I had to do it and think it was my first event of the year, and I'd be saying, wow, I just did my first event of the year, and it's the best one of the year, and I got to wait another whole year. So I regard it as my last event, and it seems to work out fine for me.
We're joined by Bob Bubka, host of the Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. And Bob, I am curious, when you talk about Hawaii and how spectacular it is, and anybody that's been there wouldn't argue with that. But have you ever had bad weather when you're there covering the tournament? Does it rain? Have you ever had a lot of bad weather, a cold front, which I guess in Hawaii means it hits 60 or something? Have you ever had bad weather, or is it almost always perfect?
It's almost always perfect. We have had some bad weather on occasion. One time it was delayed over to a Monday finish. Probably more concern over there, because it literally built on the side of a mountain, is the winds. And if the wind, you know, gets too excessive, you really can't play. The greens are not protected, I should say. And so on occasion, they had to suspend play due to high winds. The balls would not stay on the greens. But it's a rarity. Most times, you can pretty much guarantee that you're going to wake up. It's going to be 72 degrees. You go to bed at night, it's going to be 72 degrees. And when you wake up the next day, it's going to be 72 degrees. So it's just one of those ideal places that Mother Nature has bestowed upon this planet of ours, and it's as pretty a place as I've ever been, and I don't know if I'll ever get to go to any place any prettier than Maui, and certainly look forward to it.
It's going to be fun. Let's switch gears for a minute, Bob, and let's go to the Father-Son Challenge that's going on this week in Orlando, Florida, the PNC Father-Son Challenge, I should say, at Ritz-Carlton Golf Club, Grand Lakes Resort. Want to get your opinion on this, Bob. Jack Nicklaus has requested 19 tickets to the PNC Father-Son Challenge. 19 tickets. A good article by Alan Shupak, Bob, and you probably know this. Alan brought up the fact that 19 coincides with how many runner-up finishes he had in major championships. Unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it really is, Frank. And, you know, a lot of times I'll get into a discussion over the years about the 18 majors that Jack Nicklaus won. And obviously when Tiger was making that, tremendous assault on trying to achieve that goal, who's to say that it may not happen now? I mean, Tiger certainly looked healthy down at the Bahamas. He has to win another major, then maybe we would start talking about it. But quite often, as you brought up, Frank, that, you know, when you think of 18 majors, you say that's truly remarkable, but then when you plug in 19 second place finishes in majors.
Wow.
That's a record that, you're not supposed to say records can't be broken. But golly, 37 first and second place finishes in majors when they only hold four a year. I mean, you almost have to play 10 years. And in every major finish first and second, you'd only be at 40. So 37 is a remarkable total. And I think it kind of highlights just how fantastic Jack Nicklaus really was.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That's a good point, Bob, because I think it was just last year, guys, that they did something special for Jack, and I don't remember, it was a special birthday, 75 now, or for something, and they listed a bunch of his accomplishments, put them on a sheet of paper, and took them to different tour guys. So Dustin Johnson and Rory and everybody and Spieth got to look at it, and they taped it while the guys were looking at it and said, well, what do you think? What one stands out to you? And you just saw the guys' jaws dropping as they looked at things like you were just talking about, going, he did that, and I think the number is something like 75 top fives in majors. So there were 75 tournaments that he was that close within top five. It went on, and every one of them picked out a different thing to say, wow, I didn't know he did that. He did that too. So, Jack Nicklaus, you start talking about Tiger and the greatness of Tiger. Jack still, I think, trumps him in a lot of, and his health was better, I guess. You know, Tiger certainly has struggled through the health issues the last 5 years. But, it is phenomenal to see what Jack has done. We haven't talked to you, Bob, I don't think, since the Hero World Challenge. And what you just said there, I take that you felt pretty strongly about the way Tiger performed. So elaborate on that a little bit. What did you think about that?
Well, you know, if we just take that week's performance, and we got to put it in perspective in a lot of ways. I mean, the golf course, number one, was certainly conducive to Tiger playing well. The absence of rough, the extremely wide fairways, the greens were relatively soft due to some early week rain. But I wasn't really looking at his performance as much as I was looking at to see if there was going to be any physical discomfort. And I didn't see any indication of that. And I thought that was pretty remarkable. I mean, he was swinging as hard as he ever has. And Tim and Frank, that concerns me a little bit. I mean, if I saw a swing that looked more like the swing of Ernie Els, I would have a lot more confidence in the fact that maybe Tiger will be able to compete at the high highest level here in 2018. But boy, oh boy, with a fused back and to go at it at that speed. I mean, his clubhead speed was almost near 120 miles an hour. His ball speed near 180. I mean, that's as fast as anybody in the game is swinging. And I'm certainly not a surgeon. I'm not an expert in bad backs, other than the fact that, you know, I've suffered my share of pain in the back. I don't know if physically he's on the proper track to be able to keep that up. Obviously, he thinks he is, and that's all that's important. So if he stays healthy, I mean, you guys know as much as you're in the business, it's a different ball game. And I don't want to say that we need Tiger Woods, because over the last few years, golf certainly has been exciting with the arrival of such tremendous young talent, that are both good on the course and off the course. But there is a different vibe, beyond any question of a doubt, when Tiger's in an event. And if, we want to speculate and let's say I'm hoping for something under my Christmas tree this year, it certainly would be, without a doubt, that I would like to see Tiger in the last twosome on Sunday at Augusta, paired with Rory McIlroy. Rory McIlroy going for his Grand Slam and Tiger Woods going for major number 15. That would be quite a Christmas present.
There's no two ways of looking at that. That Tiger does move the needle, and Frank, I think if Tiger can somehow stay healthy, and we don't know his schedule yet and what exactly he's going to do, we do know without any uncertainty that he will be at the Masters if he's healthy enough to be at the Masters. So it kind of makes you say, and Frank, I mean, Bob's right, how dramatic would it be just for him to compete, whether he's on the final group on Sunday, just to be at the Masters means he's going to have to be healthy through four or five tournaments leading up to the Masters, however many it's going to be on his schedule. That's got to be a thought in his head, because he still talks about the Masters when people talk about his schedule and what's going on. It's all still about the majors, of course, the Masters being the first of them. So it's got to be a thought of his, doesn't it, Frank, that whatever I do, I got to stay healthy heading into Augusta week.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And he, to go back to what Bob said about that swing, you know, yeah, he's fused, but now there are other pieces of the back that can be strained because of that fusion. So he still has to be careful. I was shocked at how hard he was swinging at the ball and how far that ball speed was way up there. But I think Tiger Woods is a pretty smart fella. He's gunning for the majors, and I think he'll I think he's going to win another major. I didn't before, but I do now after what I saw, and if he can keep that back in place, he's got a shot. I mean, he really does.
Hey, Bob, it's not unlike, I don't think, if you saw recently in the NFL in games, the quarterback for your area down in Houston, Tom Savage, get taken out of a game and looking like he was in really bad shape and maybe even having convulsions. Then he goes back in the game. The point was brought up, well, he wanted to get back in the game. They asked him, he said he felt fine, he wanted to get back in the game. That's kind of the problem everybody has with athletes, in the sense of, yeah, they want to stay healthy, they want to be, but they want to compete. And so to say to Tiger, hey, Tiger, bring that swing down to like 112 and you'll still be fine. Maybe hit a one more club if you need to, or do it. I guess it's almost impossible to get an athlete who's very competitive to lay off a little bit or to not want to get in there and do what he does.
That's a wonderful point, Tim, and I think that holds true for just about any athlete. They're the last ones to make the decision on what's best for them health-wise. They're fierce competitors, and I've known Tiger a long time, perhaps without any question of a doubt, as fierce a competitor that I've ever seen. But one thing I'd like to bring up that is, I think, pretty interesting. Tiger, during his heyday, and I certainly was blessed to have watched him win all 14 of his majors. I was there, right from the get-go with him. The fact that, his desire to play well, is so strong that, you know, it's hard for anybody to reel him back in. And I don't know if he would listen to anybody. I mean, Tiger, you know, he can be stubborn at times. And if he wants to insist that he's going to swing that hard, nobody's going to change it. But one thing has changed, if it maintains, okay? What we saw in Tiger down at the Bahamas was a lot more chatter, a lot more conversations with his fellow competitors. Obviously, he was the host. It was for his foundation, so that would attribute to some of that behavior. But when Tiger was at his best, I mean, he barely talked to a fellow competitor. I mean, he'd pull in the parking lot on extremes and put his shoes on the parking lot, go to the range, play his round, go back to the car, and he was out of there. And he was very successful maintaining that intimidation factor. Can Tiger still be successful being friendly? Well, that brings another whole element into the formula for what Tiger's going to do next year.
I am curious, too, about his attitude, because it is a different world that he's in now. But we'll see. I mean, why we're talking about it is the exact point of all this, because – you know, if he's just another golfer or a guy coming off an injury, or even a very good golfer, but he's Tiger Woods, right? He's an elite guy that does make everybody stand up and pay attention if he's going to play in a tournament or do whatever he's doing. So I want to bring up next, Bob, and ask you about when you go to Hawaii and the start. I know it's the end of your season, but let's say it's the start of the calendar year of 2018 for everybody else on the tour. Last year was, of course, the year of Justin Thomas, and it started with him at this tournament last year as he won it. In fine fashion by three shots over Matsuyama. Is there somebody that you're looking at now that Justin Thomas didn't sneak up on anybody? Everybody knew who he was and that he was capable of doing what he did. It's hard to see that somebody can do that back-to-back. Spieth had his year, and they'll stay where they're at and do wonderful. But is there a Tony Finau? Is there a guy out there that hasn't quite broken through that we know about? We know that they've got talent that you're going to have your eye on this year that might be Justin Thomas of 2018?
Well, you know, certainly a very difficult question to pinpoint anybody, but I would say at the start of the year that Hideki Matsuyama is coming to, you know, coming into 2018, much the same as Justin Thomas was coming into 2017. Somebody with extreme talent, but, you know, had mild success, but not overwhelming success. I've been an admirer of Hideki for quite some time. He's an extremely hard worker. I think he has a lot of talent, and I think he could be the guy that has a gangbuster year in 2018. And then you really got to keep your eye on Jon Rahm. I mean, the improvement that Jon Rahm made last year in just 1 year, if he makes half that improvement in this year, he'll be almost unbeatable. And part of the reason that I'm fascinated with Jon Rahm and thinks that he has a great chance at you know, doing well in a major or more than one major is the fact that two things. He hits it extremely far, but he also hits it extremely straight. And those two things on the PGA Tour are certainly a lethal combination for any of his fellow competitors.
I think there's so many good young players on the tour. If you just look at leaderboards of past tournaments and guys, again, that we know about, Daniel Bergers and whatnot, haven't won majors and haven't really been going up the fairway in the final round of a major, maybe. But that was Justin Thomas, too, a guy who hadn't quite done it, and then suddenly all the pieces fit together. I'm just curious, too, Bob, and Frank, you can chime in on this. What is it that turns a Justin Thomas, a guy who, since his junior days, was every bit as good as Jordan Spieth and maybe even better when they were competing as 12 and 13 and 14-year-olds, then at college, Alabama versus Texas. He was always right there, yet Jordan kind of jumped out quicker on the PGA Tour. What is it that suddenly turns a guy into what Justin Thomas did last year? He had the talent. What makes him push it to that second level and become the player of the year, win the FedEx Cup, and almost every tournament he enters, if he wasn't winning, he was certainly in competition for, Is there a characteristic? Is there a thing that, that kind of just sparks them and makes that happen one year?
Good, well, Frank, you go first.
That's a tough question. I mean, that is a really tough question. It's just like we talk about Jordan's roommate. He decided after seeing Jordan win so much that he needed to start putting in the reps that Jordan's putting in. And maybe that's what happened to Justin Thomas. He sat back and said, wait a minute, what is he doing that I'm not doing? And what practice techniques is he using that I'm not using? And maybe he, maybe that's what spurred him on. I mean, just the competition between the two. I don't know. That's a tough question.
Is it in their heads, you think, Bob? I mean, is it a confidence thing? We all know that when somebody's playing well and they have the confidence, it's a whole different ballgame versus the same talented player in golf who's questioning himself, can't quite do it, can't quite do it. So is there almost a mental thing that they just finally get to the point of saying, I am one of the top 10 golfers in the world, and by God, I'm going to start playing like that?
Well, Tim, you just answered your own question better than anybody that that I know of could answer. There's no doubt in my mind, at that level, it's a confidence factor. And once you start gaining that confidence, it kind of steamrolls. And as you pointed out, Jordan Spieth, I mean, he was, you know, so confident that, you know, he was carrying it to extremes. He'd have a 25-foot putt, and he fully anticipated that he was going to make it. I mean, nobody that has ever played the game had that kind of confidence from 25 feet away. And now, over the last year or so, especially last year when, you know, he certainly had an unbelievable year. I mean, you don't win the Open Championship and try and call it not a successful year. But the confidence in those putts seemed to be on the wane just a little bit. And I think, you know, they all have talent. They all work hard now. Maybe some work a little harder than others. But the bottom line comes Sunday afternoon coming down the stretch is that you got to be confident in what you're able to do. And I think that separates everybody. And I think the competition now, I mean, we forget what may have been in looking at Dustin Johnson. I mean, last year, Dustin Johnson, arriving in April to compete in the Masters, had won his three previous events, including a World Championship event. And nobody was playing any better. Then the mishap, the fall, the injury to his back, the withdrawal, he never really got back on solid footing. But, you know, he's healthy now. Who's to say that he doesn't dominate? I mean, he has such extreme talent that, you know, it's almost scary. The combination of the method in which he can drive a golf ball combined with the touch with that wedge that he worked so hard on, you know, it's lethal out there. I mean, if you're driving it and you're knocking it within wedge territory and you're able to, you know, knock it stiff, I mean, you're going to win a lot of golf tournaments. So he's somebody that, you know, he's not in his 20s, but certainly in his early 30s, that they, I mean, he could win all four majors. I mean, he's that good. I mean, it wouldn't be that big a surprise if he did do that. So, you know, as we contemplate what's going to happen in 2018, it really is an exciting time for golf and the PGA Tour. I mean, you know, Jay Monahan, the new commissioner, I mean, he's got to be over the moon at the prospects of what can transpire next year. And we saw Ricky Fowler come through in Tiger's event, another exciting young talent that has finished in the top four of all the majors. You know, a major championship certainly has got to be on his horizon.
Ricky Fowler was absolutely incredible, and that is well said, Bob. He was incredible down there. I've got to tell you, though, the happiest person, and this comes from this man's mouth, the happiest person that Tiger Woods is back is Joe LaCava's wife, because Joe LaCava said,
get him out of the house.
Joey said, she said, get out of here. Please go. Get away. So
because he took off all the time Tiger was off.
He did. He took
he
off all that
on
time.
Tour and pick up another bag. Yeah. So he was. Was doing too many things around the house. I'm sure she's like, we don't need the gutters cleaned anymore.
Exactly. So Joe Lethal's wife is happier than Jay Monahan right now. So,
I mean. Hey, by the way, I want to mention that Bob Butka has brought to us, courtesy of Vertical Groove Driver. Bob, it'd be a perfect time to get somebody a Vertical Groove Driver with Christmas right around the corner. Whether they would get it in time for Christmas, I can't swear to that, but
they can.
What a perfect gift somebody would have for Christmas, right?
Yeah, it absolutely would. If you want to drive the golf ball further in 2018 and drive it straighter, get yourself a Vertical Groove Driver. And it's pretty simple. You build it yourself by going to vertgolf.com. That's vertgolf.com. Pick out your shaft, pick out your grip, pick out everything, and you'll have a custom-built driver. And I guarantee you that it will improve your game. Just ask Kenny Perry. He won the Senior Open last year playing a Vertical Groove Driver without receiving one penny of compensation from the company. That is pretty remarkable when you think of, you know, the high caliber golfer that Kenny Perry is. Hey, guys, you know, I'd kind of like to give the great listeners of, you know, Golf Talk America a little Christmas present, because I'm sure out of your vast audience, there are some that maybe sometimes they feel guilty taking a day off and going to play golf when they were working. Just listen to what I have to say. And I went back to 1923 to get this information. And at the time, the president of the large steel company in the United States was a fellow by the name of Charles Schwab, not related to the current Charles Schwab, but he died a pauper. The president of the largest gas company was Edward Hobson. He went insane. The president of the New York Stock Exchange was Richard Whitney. He was released from prison to die at home. The greatest wheat speculator, Arthur Cougar, he died abroad penniless. The president of the Bank of International Settlement, a fellow that shot himself, unfortunately. But listen to this. There was one guy in 1923 that he played golf. He won the 1923 PGA Championship. And he also won the United States Open. And by the way, yesterday marked 6 months to the day, to the start of the 2018 U.S. Open out at Shinnecock. So Gene Sarazen won both those events. What happened to him? Well, he played golf until he was 92. He died in 1999 at the age of 95. He was financially secure at the time of his death. The moral of this, if you're worried about taking a day off from work, don't. Just go play some golf.
Okay. Well, they all came full circle. I was
wondering where this was going. I was like, this is a really good Christmas era show here, you know?
Yeah.
Sad news,
golf,
killing themselves.
Golf will let you live longer, a longer, healthier life. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that, Bob. I guarantee
well,
it.
As long as you keep it in the fairway, and to keep it in the fairway, you have to use your Vertical Groove Driver. Off the tee.
And it comes in a box, too.
Oh, man,
Frank,
I got
it. It looks
you.
Like you bought the best birthday present or Christmas like, present you could buy
yeah,
anybody. It's a
it looks
box.
Like what you would buy, a box when you buy like a diamond necklace or pearls from
yeah.
Tiffany's. That's what
that
it looks like. It's black. It's not blue, but it's gorgeous. I mean, the box is
and
it, brilliant.
And it's 48 inches long, so it's a long necklace.
It
would be. You've already, you've already re-gifted, haven't you, Frank? You've used
Tim,
box
Frank is
times.
The only one that knows what it's like to buy diamonds at Tiffany. Believe me.
Yeah.
I know
no,
you
no,
and
no,
I
no.
are not in that group.
No, well, that was when my parents were alive. No, no.
I buy my diamonds on Amazon. Yeah. I don't know where they
yeah.
come from.
Yeah. Your wife probably rubs up against her teeth when she gets them to make sure they're real.
Yeah,
or is that
does,
pearls?
Sure.
You do that with pearls, right?
Pearls.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Bob, we appreciate
well,
your time. We
well,
really do.
I got a question for Bob.
You have one more thing? Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
I do. So, Bob, what are the plans for Christmas? What's going to be the big event for Christmas? I saw on Facebook you had that gorgeous grandbaby of yours in your lap. What are you guys going to do Christmas?
Well, it's going to be a very, very entertaining Christmas. I'm perhaps on the threshold of having the greatest Christmas I've ever had in my life. Janice is going to be leaving to go to Denver to spend time with her children. I'm going to stay here in Houston all by myself. So It may sound tough, but trust me, it's not nearly as tough as it sounds. So now I'll be wishing everybody. We kind of do it a crazy way in that my folks and my family are all on the East End, and last year we spent a lot of time between the U.S. Open and the Open Championship. Tentative plans right now the same with the Open being in my U.S. Open being in my backyard. We'll stay there until we go to Carnoustie over in Scotland. So we kind of whack it up a little bit and spend summers out there and winters here. It's not a bad deal. And much more important than that, I hope everybody listening has a blessed and healthy, happy new year. And let's enjoy golf like we've never enjoyed it in 2018. We got some magnificent venues for the majors. We got the Ryder Cup coming up in France. Everything's pointing to a great year. We may even have Tiger Woods back on the scene at the highest level. So I'm excited about 2018, and I just thank you guys for the opportunity to wish all of your listeners a very Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Bob. Same to you and your family.
Have a great one, and we will be talking to you, if not before Christmas, right up to the first of the year, and you'll be heading towards, or maybe already in. When do you get there? When do you get to Hawaii?
The first day of the year.
Okay.
Can't get there fast enough.
Then we'll talk to you. We'll have to set that up, though, Frank, from a time difference. What is it, about 4 hours?
Four? No, it's six, isn't it?
Five?
I don't know. We better look that up.
Might be early.
I didn't go to class around this.
5 hours. 5 hours from our national headquarters in Tennessee, 4 hours from our satellite office in Dallas. So
4 hours,
we can handle that.
Yeah.
I get to watch NFL games at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. I know that much.
You don't know what else to do. By noon, you're done with all the games. So, all right, Bob, have a great time, and we'll talk to you from Hawaii in a couple of weeks, okay?
Take care, Bob.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Take care, buddy. Thanks.
Take care. Bob Bupka, host of The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. And great, great host.
It's a great show.
A tradition for him.
Yeah, it is. He's got a great show. The Grill Room is really a good show. I would tell our listeners, go out and check it out. It's really a good program, good podcast.
We got to go to Hawaii.
I know.
I just get so jealous.
Maybe we should. Hawaii. Okay, here's the deal. A GoFundMe account for Tim and Frank to get to go to Hawaii. What do you think?
What he said was true, though. Because the media are taken care of, because it is a major trip for most media people, right? I mean, they can get to Dallas and to New York and wherever they have to go, in Chicago or different tournaments. But to get to Hawaii is a whole other thing. Or to get your company, you know, your newspaper, your radio station, whatever, to send you there is not so easy. So I think they would welcome us there with open arms.
The PGA Tour.
That's what we want.
The PGA Tour is our boss, so maybe they should send us. Yeah.
Do you think? We're going to hold our breath on that one?
Yeah. No, they'll do it.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Sure.
Let's give out Bob's home address so everybody can drop by on Christmas to say hi. What do you think?
I know. He'd be so lonely. I know. He needs some company.
He's not going to be lonely. Bob's going to be fine in Houstonville.
Yeah.
What are you doing for Christmas, pal?
Not much of anything. We got our house being demolished, not really, but almost, with some remodeling that we're doing. So we're basically going to move things and, you know, get the remodeling ready, because you got to kind of clear out. In our case, we're starting with the kitchen area, so we got to get everything out of there. Yeah, so it's. I don't make it sound like it's not a great Christmas, but it's going to be a lot more work than probably opening a lot of presents. But it'll be nice. And about 5 months from now, I'll be happy that it all happened.
Well, I don't have a tree up
yet. Get down the road.
Haven't done a Christmas tree yet. We'll do that this weekend. And just have a kind
of. We're not even doing one. Because it's getting, where we normally put our tree is right where we're not going to wall out. Between the kitchen and the dining room. And
so no tree?
There's not going to be a tree.
Nativity scene? Mm-hmm. Something?
I don't know. I'll probably sing a couple of jingle bells or something, if that makes you feel better.
A couple of jingle drinks.
just another day, you know?
Hey, it is not just another day.
I can't put up the tree and do all those things. It's just that this year we'll have to go without it, so I think we'll be okay.
Our good friends at Dallas Golf, what are they going to give us for Christmas? You know?
I don't know.
I'm telling you. That's a good question.
That's a good plug for DallasGolf.com. You know, come on, boys.
More Titleist equipment, right?
Uncle Frank needs some new wedges. Hadn't gotten the new wedges yet.
You're liking your irons, aren't you?
I'm loving my irons. Loving my irons. Yeah. They really hit well. I had, like I said, I played really well at Santee. So I was happy. I'm ready to go back. So anyway, it's going to be great. Right, the father-son, before we go, the father-son, the PNC father-son challenge, Jack Nicklaus and his son and Lee Trevino and his. Now, come on. Jack and Lee Trevino in a group together.
Yeah.
How good's that going to be? How good is that going
to
be?
A lot of fun to watch. A lot of fun to watch.
It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to watch that. I wish I was there, but Brendan Sweeney, our roving reporter, will be giving us an update from there. We'll get a report next week from Brendan as to what went on down there. And then we'll be at the PGA show, looks like. I haven't confirmed it all yet, but...
it's like late January, right?
Yeah, late January.
In Orlando.
Will be our really first trip in January, it looks like, unless... the PGA Tour sends us to Hawaii, hint, hint. So
yeah, sure.
Maybe I can hop a ride with Jay on the jet, you know?
Yes. Yeah, just put your thumb out in Nashville. See if he'll swing by and
from Ponte Vedra to Nashville, refueling in L.A., and then Hawaii. Perfect. Perfect.
All right.
Perfect. Well, it's time to do that.
Play the music. We're out of here. We're done. We got it done.
We are toast. Hey, Terrence Schaefer did a great job on the show, didn't she? Sorry we stepped on her so much, but we had a delay. But Terrence's going to come back on next week with us, too.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Hey, we'd like to thank Bob Bupka for joining us and all of you for listening, as always. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks so much for listening to us here on Golf Talk America, and please join us next time.